Well, good morning, church. Yes, it is me. I am standing and walking around again, at least for a brief while. So we're very glad to be here today, and we're very glad to see you here today. For those that are visiting, I've had a bit of a bout lately with some illness, and so I was out for a while, and that's why people may not recognize me as I'm here. But my name is Dave Kistner, and I am one of the pastors here at Washington Heights, and we're so glad that you have joined us today. I actually know that wearing a yellow sweater with a white collar makes me look a little bit like a marshmallow peep. But I did that because I thought, you know, we need to have some celebration. It is Easter Sunday morning. And Easter is what Christianity is all about. And we ought to embrace it with joy and victory and maybe even a little bit of fun. Charlie started out the service, as churches all across the world have started this morning, with that great statement and response. And I'd like to do it one more time, if you don't mind. He is risen. Now, I know you can do it better than that. I do. Let's try it one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right, now, I know how uncomfortable this is for some of you. Let's go one more time, and this time, stand up. Okay, stand up. Go on, stand up. He is risen indeed. Let's give it some emphasis, all right? He is risen.
He is risen.
All right. Amen. Now you can sit down. You see, we have to remember as Christians that it really is all about the resurrection. Now, don't get me wrong. All of the other stuff is important. But as I've said so often, if all Christ did was die for our sins, then we wind up forgiven and dead. It is in the power of the resurrection that we have all of our hope. And here's what I find so challenging about that. I can never make you believe it. I have to tell you, as a teacher, as a pastor, as someone who cares about people, that's hard. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said this. He said, if Christ is not raised, then our lives, literally, our faith, means nothing. Our faith is how we live. Our faith is what drives our values and our choices. Our faith is what makes us the people we are with our friends and neighbors, our husbands and wives. And what Paul said was, if we live this amazing life and the resurrection isn't real, then that life was meaningless. Wow. And so we really do come to hold the resurrection as special. And this day, it's the high point. It's the best. It's what it's all about. And yet, knowing how it has changed our lives, and knowing how it has made us the people we are, and knowing how it has given us hope for the future and victory, here's the struggle. I can't make you believe. I can't make my best friend believe. I can't make my son or my daughter believe. And neither can you. Hebrews gives us an amazing statement when it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And then here's the challenge. Over the years, and I'm old enough now to have seen pretty much a lot of this in my life expressed in the church in various ways, I have watched people lay out the evidence and try to make someone believe. Maybe you've been in one of those services, or maybe you've been cornered by one of those Christians, and they just so persuasively want to lay out the evidence for you. And at the end, they say, now, believe. And maybe you did, and praise God if you did. And maybe you said, yeah, not now. And maybe you said never. I've come to realize that evidence doesn't do it by itself. I used to think it did. I was kind of one of those guys given over to the argument, to debate, trying to always win the argument and prove the debate. I just made a note of a couple of things here. On all of these issues, there are proponents and there are detractors, and each one of them guarantee by the evidence that their position is supported. Climate change. Yeah? Uh-oh. Free market trade agreements. Gun rights or gun control. Budget reform. I mean, we hear it every day, don't we? Our newspapers, our radios, our iPads, our phones, they're just blown up with those issues and the evidence on both sides. And you know what? I don't think the evidence has convinced anyone. And that's when I realize that it's not about the evidence, or at least not about the evidence alone. I can lay out the evidence. I can take you to Scripture and show you what is said there, and I can defend the validity of the witnesses like Matthew and Mark and John and Peter, who talked about the things that Scripture says they report they had seen with their eyes and touched with their hands. And I can say, look at the witnesses. There's evidence. I can look at the history. Paul gave us the hint when he said that when Jesus appeared, he didn't keep it secret. He went out and talked to people. He said first to Cephas and then to the 12 and finally to more than 500 in the city of Corinth. Paul said, and many of those are still right here with us. You can go ask them. And you can talk about the history. It was C.S. Lewis who said that Jesus had to be either a liar, a lunatic, or he was Lord. And then went on to explain why it was impossible to have a lie that was sustained so broadly over such a period of time, and that it was impossible to be a lunatic and have the consistency in the story that brought it all together, and that meant he must be who he claimed he was. And I can lay all of those evidences out for you. And you can look at me and say, yes, but the Bible is a myth and it was all just legends and I don't believe it. And here's why. Because in the end, the question is not about the evidence, but it's about your faith. We talk about it all the time, but evidence only gives us a pointing to something. Faith makes us accept it. And I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's your view of the universe. I don't care if it's your understanding of science. I don't care if it's what you believe about relationships, about love and about money and about anything else in life. The evidence points you in a direction, but in the end, you have to say, I accept the evidence. I believe the report. I trust it with my life and my faith. Some of you know the name Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church out in California, author of a book that was so popular many years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. What many people do not know is that Rick and Kay Warren went through probably the most devastating experience that human beings can go through. when their 27-year-old son, who had for years battled depression and mental illness, took his own life. It's very devastating to think about. You know, we look at people who are prominent. We look at people who have put their stamp on the world in some significant way and been noticed by literally millions. We say, oh, their life must be so great. And then you find out that they face the same struggles and challenges and hurts, burdens that you and I do. People ask the Warrens repeatedly, how do you get through that? Rick Warren wrote this about his son Matthew. I've often been asked, how have you made it? How have you kept on going? How have you dealt with the pain? And Kay and I always give the same answer. Easter. You see, Warren writes, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus happened over 3 days. Friday was the day of suffering and pain and agony. Saturday was the day of doubt and confusion and misery. But Easter, that Sunday, that was the day of hope and joy and victory. And here's the fact of life. You will face these days over and over and over again in your lifetime. And when you do, you'll find yourself asking, as I did, these fundamental questions. Number one, what do I do in my days of pain? And number two, how do I get through my days of doubt and confusion? And number three, how do I get to the days of joy and victory? And I'll tell you, he said, the answer is Easter. The answer is only Easter. We talk about the resurrection. We talk about something that is not a new idea. I mention this most times at funerals or at actually graveside services. We go back and we look at history and we understand that, well, Moses was given by God the information to tell us what happened at the beginning. The book of Job was probably the earliest book we have in Scripture that was actually penned or written down by someone. It's a very ancient book. But as the choir just sang in their final number, there's a great statement that comes out of that book in Job 19 when Job said this, I know that my Redeemer lives. And he goes on and says this, in the end, he will stand upon the earth, and after my flesh has been destroyed, I will see my God. I will see him in my flesh. I will see him with my own eyes. I will see him and not another, and my heart burns within me. For that day was what Job was saying. As far back as the earliest piece of recorded Scripture, more than a millennia before the time that Jesus came to Calvary, there was an understanding of the resurrection. And it appears again and again and again and again throughout Scripture until that day when very confused and hurting people came to the tomb and an angel stood there and says, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is risen! Oh, he is risen indeed. And here's the simple truth. His resurrection comes to you right now, today, in your day of sorrow and pain, or in your day of confusion and doubt, and it offers you this, that it can be today a day of joy and victory because Jesus rose and so can you. Jesus lives and so can you. Jesus is there and he will be your life if you believe. I can't make you believe. The evidence can't make you believe. But I could point you to that cross, and the evidence can point you to that cross, and I can tell you this, it's empty because Jesus lives. And I can ask you this one simple question. After seeing the lives of people who have been changed and hearing the evidence of Scripture and history, well, I can't make you believe. I can ask you this. Will you believe? Right now, today, this Easter, will you believe? Oh God, we thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful day and for the amazing truth that Jesus rose. And Lord, we pray now that as we celebrate this day, our belief, our faith will sustain us. And we will celebrate the joy and the victory. And if there's anyone here who has never believed before, will your Spirit move in their heart and cause them to believe right now? And as they do, fill them with that joy and that hope and cause them to be our brothers and sisters. And for the rest of us, let us leave today knowing that you live and that we live with you. And this we pray on this amazing Easter day in Jesus' name. Amen.